Good morning. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we come before you and we want to have more of you. Lord, we realize the things they have done in our lives in the past. But yet, Lord, there's a conviction upon us, Lord, when we read your scriptures, when we study your Bible, that there's just so much more that we have yet to embrace, that we have yet to live out and experience. So, Lord Jesus, we ask you, Lord, that you would set us on that path to not only to enter into the promised land, but to enter into your purpose for us. And Lord, I pray, Lord, for this entire church as well. Lord, that we would find and to commit to our purpose that you have given this particular church. And in doing so, Lord, we know that we will have a further taste of who you are in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In a lot of retail establishments or customer-oriented stores, companies, there's oftentimes you see a sign, kind of plaque on the wall, the employee of the month, okay? When I was in seminary, I had the privilege to work at the Warner Brothers Studios at Queens Center Mall, at the down the lower level, and they had, in the back room where the staff is at, they have a plaque there that had the employee of the month as well. And obviously, I wasn't there long enough to make it there, but I was trying. And then I was at UPS for a short time, and they had the same thing there. They had this plaque, they have ranking, who gets to move the parcels as fast as possible per minute. And so that's how you get on to the employee of the month. And if you shop at Costco's, you would see that as well. They have the picture there, usually they're smiling, okay? And then they would highlight that this is the person, this is the employee of the month that has excelled, above and beyond everybody else. And for reward, what do they give them? They give them like maybe a preferred parking, right? Nearby the door or something like that. Maybe a better schedule. Or like in UPS, they would give us an extra 15-minute break, which really was a big deal. It's great to have that 15-minute break. They would tell everybody on the floor, like, all right, we're going to have donuts for everybody. Employee of the month, yeah. And then, they get them all cheered up, and after a while, you figure out, like, wait a minute, these donuts, it's not just for me, it's for everybody else. And by the time you get there, there's nothing left. And they're full of sugar, so you can work faster. You see, they got to all figure out. So now, with that being the case, what about the kingdom of God? If the secular world, if the workforce out there has reward for their workers, then what about the workers in God's kingdom? What would be the reward or the incentive for us to serve the master's purpose? I mean, if there's no difference, then why not just be part of the vast majority of churchgoers who regularly attend, perhaps, but not necessarily serving in a regular basis? There has to be a reward for being the servant of the month in God's kingdom. The truth is, there are many reasons why you will want to be actively serving the master's purpose. And this morning, I will only cover one particular reason, and I think it goes deeper than, the saying, receiving something in heaven, okay? That, once you die, you get the reward. But then that's once you die. What about right now? The incentive to serve that I want to talk about right here, right now, is for right now. The reward that we can embrace right now. You see, you and I can make choices today where the rewards can flow to us and be part of our lives right now. We don't have to wait until we see the Lord face to face. I mean, yes, that is true. But this is for right now. And the reward is this. If you write it down, write it down. If you don't remember anything of this message, please, at least this sentence. At least this one sentence. The reward is this. It is the blessing to be doing what you were made for. the blessing to be doing what you were made for. You know, each of us are unique. We are made differently, not just because of our DNA, but also through our past experiences, and also where you were located geographically, where you were raised up. A person in Cambodia for his entire life living there has a different perspective on life than, let's just say, a typical Westerner who has traveled beyond more than two continents. You see, different things motivate you. You see the world through different lenses. You have a personality that may fit into some sociological category, like, you know, introverted or extroverted, a passive, aggressive, whatever. But the bottom line is, you are still a unique person on this planet. And God does not see, you know, one as being more superior than the other. He just sees the fact that, you know what, he has made everyone with a different mold. And I could go on forever, describing how, you know, diversity and how everyone in this room is different. I think you know that. I think you know that you are unique, and because of that, you are special. And God has something special for you as well. You see, there is a special assignment that God has given each and every one of us. I want you to turn back to your scripture reading, back to the first chapter of Joshua. And the context here is Joshua in chapter 1, they're about to go into the promised land. And we've been looking at this for several weeks now, this whole series of Inherit More. We're talking about the promised land of Jesus Christ. And here in the first chapter of Joshua, we find that there was a special assignment given to the Israelites. Verse 11, if you could look at it with me. And I think we have the PowerPoint here. Excellent. It says that, go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. You know, for Joshua and the rest of the Israelites, you know, this moment is what they were made for. This special assignment for them was set up long ago in their ancestry. You know, when God told Abraham, you know, 400 years ago before Joshua, and that his descendants would take this special land, this land of Canaan. And then so you got, like, you know, 400 years of suffering under the bondage in Egypt. This was all part of God's plan. And then the 40 years of wandering in the desert was also to prepare for them to get to this point where they're about to enter into the promised land by crossing that Jordan River. You see, everything about their history up to this point is for them to fulfill God's assignment. And the people responded in verse 16. They said that whatever you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. All right? You can kind of picture this, you know, since it's Super Bowl Sunday. It's almost like that pep talk, you know, before they kick it off, before they march onto the field, you know, you got some vocal, you know, player, everyone surrounding them, you know, who brought you here? Who brought you? And everyone's like, yeah. And then they go out there. And this is what we see here in chapter 1 of Joshua. People are pumped up. They're going to cross the river in 3 days. This is what they were meant for. This was God's assignment. Wow, they sound excited. They were motivated about life because this was what this generation was meant for, to cross to the other side. This is their special assignment from God, and there is deep joy in doing what you were made for. You know, there was a British film made back in 1981. Now, how many of you were born after 1981? Whoa, okay, well, let's see, I guess I was in junior high school at that time. All right, if you were born after 1981, these close your ears, this has nothing to do with you. There was a British film called Chariots of Fire, okay? So I guess if you can Google that, maybe you can watch on YouTube. And in this movie, Chariots of Fire, a young man who wanted to be a missionary to China, and he also wanted to run in the Olympics because I think the Olympics of 84 was coming. And so in this one scene, this young man, you know, he missed prayer meeting. Yes, he did. Gasp, I know. He missed prayer meeting because of the intense schedule that was leading up to the Olympics. And so he came from a Christian family, and his sister, a very devout Christian, scolded him and accused him of putting running first and God second. You know, how dare you? How dare you? As they were eating their bowl of cherries. And then the young man, the runner, said this. He says, I believe that God made me for a purpose. He made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. You know, what a line. That was worth the whole movie. You know, in God's creation, there is no greater blessing than to be doing exactly what you were made for. Did you know that? And the Bible says that, you know, when the trees in the field, you know what I mean? When the wind blows and it goes swaying back and forth, they're clapping their hands in joy. Because the tree is doing exactly what God had designed them to do. And when an anteater, think about it, an anteater, although I don't know exactly how it looks like, but I assume it has a big nose. But when an anteater sifts through the jungle looking for ants, it is blessed because that's what God designed it to do. And you could give this anteater a juicy Peter Luger steak, but the anteater will only thrive and be happy with ants. And the same can be said when people in God's church are doing exactly what they were made for. There are some people that can absorb the deep truth in the Bible, the scriptures, that love absorbing everything into it. They read commentaries, they read this and that, and also at the same time, they don't mind talking. Then maybe, perhaps God has for them a certain type of calling towards teaching ministry, maybe. And then there are some adults who have a soft spot for kids. Right, every church has them, or I think we have some here. A soft spot for kids. You know, they enjoy interacting with kids, and perhaps, you know, more importantly, the kids enjoy interacting with them. And so perhaps these people can thrive and be blessed in the context of a children's ministry. And then there are some that may not fit into the teaching ministry or the children's ministry, but you know what? They're great with their hands. And so they can, you know, build like a set, you know, a backdrop for a skit or maybe for VBS. They could make repairs around the church. Maybe they could help some elderly person install an appliance. I don't know. And perhaps someone who's not great with their hands and they're not good with the children and then really don't like teaching and they don't, you know, they're not all into that stuff. But yet, you know what? They're great with numbers. You know those people. They're able to process numbers very quickly in their heads. I know not everyone could do this, but some people can. And there's a specific ministry that they can serve in church administration. And what they do may not be directly called spiritual ministry, but it is nevertheless essential to a church. When everyone in church does what they were made for, then you really begin to see the church as a body. You know, but when you only have 20% doing 80% of the work of the Lord, then that's not healthy, is it? That's not healthy at all. You know, do you want to know how a healthy church looks like? You know, the Bible tells us that Ephesians chapter 4:16, I think we have it up here. Great, thank you. It says that from him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love. And let's read the underline together. As each part does its work. You see, the million-dollar question for everyone here today is, you know, what is my special assignment? You know, without the answer to this question, your Christian life may be a bit dull. Perhaps you may even experience a lack of motivation to the kingdom things and the spiritual things. And perhaps it could even get to a point where it is downright frustrating. You know, for Joshua and the Israelites, they got a taste of what life was living in the wilderness. They did that for 40 years already. Every single day, it's the same thing. You know, you get up, you move your tent, you eat manna. You eat this manna in the desert, wandering around, while God had ultimately meant for you to feast in the fruit of the promised land, the land of flowing milk and honey. But yet you're here eating the manna every single day. And perhaps you're alive, but yet you're not really living life. And you and I both know that there are many Christians in churches that are still wandering. They lack the fulfillment and the joy that the Lord wants them to have. And they haven't found it yet, what their special assignment was. Or perhaps, I dare even say, perhaps they're not even that concerned about it. They're indifferent towards the special assignment that God has for them. They're busy doing their own assignment. And as a result, they miss the vibrancy of life that God offers them. And when people are not doing what they were made for, there is a sense, a deep sense of restlessness to the point of frustration. You know, there are a lot of unfulfilled Christians out there. Perhaps, you know, buying a new book. Maybe that might change, but you know, that doesn't really work long term. That feeling is still there. Maybe they wonder, without any particular reason, whether, you know, it's time to just, for change. Maybe it's time for changing a church, you know? Maybe, you know, if I'm from a small church, I'll give a big church, you know, a try. Or maybe I'm from a big church, you know what, maybe things will be different if I went to a smaller church. Or maybe just change a different version of the Bible that I read, you know, maybe not the NIV, and then try something else. Maybe I can just hear another great sermon from the internet. And that might edify you for that moment, but until you move the direction that God has set for you, you know, life will still feel kind of like just blah. You know, like manna every single day in the wilderness. They're all temporary adjustments that distract them from the real issue. The real issue is that there's something definitely missing. And the key to addressing this deep emptiness, as a Christian even, is to discover your special assignment from the Lord. And not only to discover it, but to carry them out and to do that. You know there is a special assignment just for you because God told you in the Bible. It says that, in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. You see, every one of us, God has given us a special assignment. You know, you are in this church at this particular time because you have a special assignment. God never meant for, you know, his church just to be a place of doctrinal instruction without ministry action. You know, I've heard this one pastor call this a phenomenon where you go to church and to get fed and then that's it, you know. There's no ministry after that. You know, he calls it this phenomenon as spiritual obesity. You know, this is when, I guess, church people gather to get fed every single Sunday. And assuming it's a good feeding, and they do nothing about it. That's perhaps why, for most church people, it's very important for them, you know, who the preacher is. If they're looking for churches, they want to know who the preacher is, rather than, you know, what particular ministry need that does that church have. The question is always, who's preaching there? You know, eventually the result is, you have congregations that are too much doctrinal intake with no execution of the Lord's work. So spiritual obese people tend to be critical because the Bible says, you know, knowledge puffs up, right? And they complain about things because the ideals in their mind are not met in the front lines, but yet the front lines, they know very little about the front lines because they're not involved there. And that's why I love the conferences like Urbana. You know, the Urbana experience, all right? It was so rich, so full. Yeah, I'm talking to you, Jen. Yeah. It was so rich and so full. Because, you know, you have young people not only fed with great speakers, much greater than Grace Faith, totally, all right? not only are they blessed with the music, I saw YouTube, it was awesome. But you know, that happens at any other conference too. But the thing about Urbana is that you have these young people that actually come back with a renewed pursuit, a rejuvenation of searching for the special assignment that God has for me. And it's leading me to a change. And I'm going to a different direction. I'm more concerned about the Lord's work than just a lot of pep talk. And so God is glorified when his people are working towards his purpose. And so for Joshua and his people, you know, when they were going to the promised land, they didn't go there with the intent to be spiritually obese. Because God had work for them to do while they were in the promised land. Because God's purpose for them came a long time ago through Abraham, long ago, and God had said this to them, that your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed. That's the purpose of God. All nations on earth will be blessed by this group of people. The special assignment for God's chosen race was to be a blessing to all the ethnicities on this planet. And if and when they carried it out, then God's blessing of joy, fulfillment, satisfaction in life, then it'll come. But as history would tell us, you know, once the Israelites got into the promised land, into the land of Canaan, they started to do their own assignment, you see. And as a result, there was emptiness in the people that has left them open to temptation for the idols of the surrounding Canaanites. Because think about it, if they were fully satisfied, then why would they even be tempted or even consider idol worship? You know, getting into the promised land was merely to be in a position to carry out the work of the Lord. And oftentimes for us, you know, today our churches, our Christian circles, you know, we get carried away with the fact that, you know what, salvation is by faith only and not by works. And somehow that gets distorted to the point where, you know what, there's no work at all. There's no such thing as the work of the Lord. And the New Testament tells us that there's a term that comes up from many places. A term that says, you know, work of the Lord. That our new position in Christ puts us in a place where we can perform the work of the Lord. Look at the verses here. It says, you know, therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. Because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And the next one, if Timothy comes, all right, this is a little bit more specific now, okay? See to it that he has nothing to fear while he is with you, for he is carrying out what? The work of the Lord. And Paul even calls out certain people, like Archippus. There's a guy named Archippus at the end of the book of Colossians. He says, tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the work you have received in the Lord. And you know, for you today, knowing Christ as your personal Savior merely puts you in a position to do the work of the Lord. God's kingdom is a kingdom that's advancing because people have taken the Master's work seriously. So what is your special assignment? You know, I can't answer this in 10 minutes, but I'll give you a couple of things to look at, a couple of things to consider. In your outline, I have laid out a few things that you may want to consider. The first one is that it comes from the Lord. You know, your special assignment is more than just a general task to take on. You know, like, okay, I get to work at this company. I have two or three kids. It's more than that. It has to specifically do with advancing his divine purpose. That God's purpose on earth comes in basically two primary directions. One, it is to spread the good news about Jesus, okay, that we know. Two, it is to nurture those who have received the gospel to bring them into maturity, the Bible says. In other words, God's assignment is about evangelism and it's about discipleship. And these two mandates are the only reason that you and I are left in this fallen world after we became Christians. You see, if this was not the case, think about it. Then perhaps upon receiving Christ, God should just take us all home to be right there with him, right? I mean, it's so much better to have fellowship with God when you can see God. But God created the church through people like us to do the work of the Lord. And God had this in mind in the Old Testament when he said to Abram that all people would be blessed through you. And then we find in the New Testament that God gave essentially the same thing through his church, the Great Commission. And the Bible continues to describe the last days, which we are in now. That Jesus described that in the last days, that the world will be filled and increased in wickedness. I mean, do we all agree that our world has gotten darker and darker as the decades go by? As the generations go by, our world is not moving closer to God's truth. Rather, it is moving further away from God's truth. We can all see that, right? Sin, the level of sin has increased, not decreased. But yet, the Bible also says this, that where sin increased, grace increased all the more. Do you know what that means? Do you realize that you are part of God's last surge of grace to this perishing world? So that means it is amazing to be alive and a Christian in our generation right now. It's a wonderful thing that you and I are like the finest wine that Jesus pours out at the last hour. And the prophet Joel long ago talked about our 21st century that we are living right now. It says in Joel 2, and that in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. What a wonderful time to be alive and to serve God's purpose in the last days. What is your special assignment? You can also consider this. It happens where he has placed you. You know, going back to Joshua, his special assignment was going to the Canaan at that particular time. And so God had arranged his parents to be among those that were wandering in the desert. And through God's sovereignty, Joshua's place of birth was in the Middle East, not in China, not in North America. His special assignment is where God had placed him. Did you ever wonder why God has placed you in your particular family, in this particular country? You were born in a particular race, in a particular social economic group. You know, God could have chosen for you to be born in poverty in Haiti. That could have happened. You were not in control of all that. And your special assignment, maybe, is to go to Africa if you have received a personal revelation from God, a calling to do so. But if not, then perhaps your special assignment is where the sovereign God has placed you. You know, God has an assignment for you with the friends that you have. He has given you a unique personality, a unique passion, and ability to perform his special purpose. And same could be said about this entire church. You know, God's assignment for Grace Faith Church, you know, has to do something with our location, the strategic location of being here in Manhattan. Manhattan is one of the most influential places on this planet. You know, there is a financial, I don't want to sound like I'm a tour guy. I mean, there's a financial district, there is a fashion district, a certain neighborhood that's just known for its arts. There are museums that are world famous. I mean, the media that comes out of this place, it shapes the worldview of a global culture. And so I think all over the world, you will find perhaps somebody wearing like an I Love You t-shirt, you know, a I Love New York t-shirt. I remember, you know, that was one of the favorite requests from the Cambodians before we went. You know, can you get us some of those on Canal Street? You know, I Love New York t-shirts. I mean, I don't see shirts that say, you know, I love Boston. I don't see those shirts around. I don't even see those shirts in Boston. Okay? I mean, there's no place like it. And God gave this church a building here in Manhattan next to a school across the street. Do you think maybe our special assignment has something to do with the unsaved youth of Chinatown? Or perhaps all the co-workers that you have connections with while you're working in Manhattan? You see, your assignment happens where He has placed you. Lastly, it will stretch you into the supernatural. You know, before the Israelites attempted to cross the Jordan River, we find, not in Joshua, but earlier in the books, Moses gave them a pre-game pep talk, you know. And we find this in Deuteronomy chapter 6. You don't have to turn there. I think we have that. Oh, do we? Great, thanks. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, you know, Moses gives them this talk. And this is towards the tail end of the 40 years. This is when the wandering of the desert is finally concluded. Here they are. Moses says that when the Lord your God brings you into the land He swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, a land with large, flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. See, God is saying that as you do your special assignment, you will discover the supernatural grace of God. That you will accomplish things for His kingdom that you know you cannot take credit for. Just like when the Israelites went into the promised land, that as they found the courage to do this, they were walking on faith. And because they did that, you know, they were enjoying things that they didn't work for that. They didn't dig that well. They didn't build this city. They didn't plant this tree. They experienced all these things. This is all by God's grace. And so you experience, as you accomplish your special assignment, you will experience His provision that your hands did not provide. You will have the strength that you know you did not have. And you will love in a way that you never knew you had it in you. And God will stretch you as you begin to cross your Jordan River. And unless you take on your God-given assignment, you will always only hear the testimonies about somebody else, about somebody else's faith, somebody else's courage, somebody else's Christian life that was all so fulfilling, you know, it was beyond the horizons, the whole thing, but yet you're looking at it from the outside. And really, there's no way to get around this. You can't expect the supernatural to happen in your life without completing your special assignment from the Lord. It was kind of like that fellow that that Paul mentioned named Archippus. You know, he tells him, see to it that you complete the work you have received in the Lord. Now, we don't know in the scriptures what happened and who this Archippus guy is, but perhaps he needed to hear that from Paul. Can you imagine that you got this kind of like the Pope-like figure, you know, giving you a letter, and we're reading this letter in front of everybody, and you hear your name here. Oh, you know, St. Paul says, oh, you know, called out by name. Complete the work that the Lord has given you. So maybe Archippus was distracted. We don't know, but perhaps he got distracted that he needed to hear this. Or maybe he got complacent with his Christian life. He got used to how things were, and he didn't want to stretch out for the assignment that the Lord has given him. Maybe that's why Paul told him that. Or maybe, you know, for Archippus, his life just got so busy. Just got so busy with everything that's going on. It's been so crazy for the last couple of years. Got too busy for the Lord's work that was given to him. Now, we don't know why Paul said that to him, But I suspect that at least we know this, that for this particular individual, he needed to hear that. And I believe for you and I, and this entire church for that matter, needed to hear that as well. That there is a work of the Lord that God has assigned us to, that has assigned you to. See to it that you complete the work that you've received from the Lord. There is a tremendous reward. There is a blessing to be doing what you were made for. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, Lord, I know it's perhaps not the first time we've heard a message like this, where your church is one unit, many parts, we have a special calling, so on and so forth. Many of us have been in this church long enough to hear a message like that at least 5 times. So Lord Jesus, obviously, we need something more. And Lord, that comes from you. Lord Jesus, we cannot get to where we need to go without you. And so Lord Jesus, we come and we ask, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you would give us the courage to discover where our special assignment is and not to fear that they will interrupt our plans for life, our assignment. Give us the courage to do your work, even though it may cost us in ways that are very uncertain to us. Give us the courage, Lord, to lunge forward, Lord, and not to always look at the promised land from the other side of the river, content with the manna in our hands. Lord Jesus, give us the courage, as you have given your Israelites with Joshua back in those days, long, long time ago, you have given them courage to take the land and to enjoy the provisions that come with it. Give your people, Grace Faith Church, Lord, the courage to move in that direction so that we can perform and do the work that you have assigned, not, you know, Redeemer or Times Square Church or Brooklyn Tabernacle, but what you have given us, Grace Faith Church, the people of this church that your sovereign will has put together, our special assignment. Lord Jesus, in Jesus' name, give your people that courage, Lord, that our confidence may be in you and not in our own resources. Lord, I pray for that day. It is my desire as a pastor, Lord, that our church will enjoy the vineyards that we did not plant. Enjoy the spring water that we did not dig for that well. And live in the protection and the provisions of a city that we did not build. Lord Jesus, give us the courage. In your name we pray. Amen.